Are you a camper? I feel like people fall into one of two camps when asked that question, pardon the pun. You either love it or the idea of an inflatable mattress and a drop toilet triggers some kind of trauma response. Well, a lot of us spend New Year in a tent or around a fire, but right now there's quite a few unhappy campers in New South Wales. There's a review underway looking at changing the national parks booking system, in some instances making it a lot more expensive to pitch a tent. One campsite on the Hawkesbury, for example, currently costs just over $24 a night, but will increase to $89 a night in peak season, which is really getting up there when you've got to bring your own accommodation with you. The government says it's about fairness and managing demand, but others worry it's pricing people out of nature. At a time when camping is one of the last affordable ways for a family to take a holiday. In just a moment, you'll hear a breakdown of these proposed changes. We'll look at what's happening in other states and ask some of the bigger questions about why access to national parks is so important. With me is Mike Atkinson, known to many as Outback Mike. He's an adventurer and a filmmaker and a familiar face to anyone who watched season one of Alone Australia, where he was runner-up. Mike, welcome to Life Matters.
G'day, thanks for having me.
So this consultation paper, Improving Camping in New South Wales National Parks, when you first had a look at it, you thought it made sense, but you've had a bit of a deeper dive and you're not so happy. What changed for you?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it made sense, but I didn't see anything alarming. But when you understand that they're going to apply a tier system to approximately 60% of campgrounds, which, as far as I'm aware, never in the history of New South Wales National Parks had a camping fee, that's not obvious when you read this proposal. And if you, the heading of the proposal itself, improving camping, well, for most people, that's not an improvement.
You took a phone call from the New South Wales Environment Minister, Penny Sharp. How did that conversation go?
Yeah, I was very grateful that she called, and she, she certainly listened to the points that I raised, like that first one about it used to be free for so many places. She also listened to my second point, which was national parks need to increase the amount of campgrounds available to meet demand. She emphasised that it's still in the consultation phase and that this proposal is to seek feedback from the public, and she's not going to make any snap decisions, which is good. I am worried that, not historically, government can sound like they're listening to things and then time passes, the spotlight goes off, and then it just gets snuck through. I'm concerned that can happen, obviously, in any situation where something new is being proposed. And that's why I think it's important for everybody to understand what's happening. And the thing that's not obvious is that for that majority of campgrounds, for the first time ever, there'll be a fee, and I think it's a significant fee.
You will hear from someone from the New South Wales Parks and Wildlife Service in a moment. But, Mike, what problems do you think that this consultation process are aiming to fix?
Well, they're certainly aiming to fix the ghost booking problems, which is, it's a legitimate problem. So before COVID, there were a number of campsites in the busier areas that had a booking system and a camp fee system. That's fine. I remember doing that as a kid. And for those to be classed in a tier system to make it fairer, more equitable from campsite to campsite, like example you talked about the Hawkesbury, for example, that sounds fine. It is the introduction of the booking system, which came in COVID, for the express purpose of managing an infectious disease. When you apply a booking system to very cheap campgrounds, which was actually a booking fee of $6, which only paid for the website, it didn't contribute to the campsite, you have this ghost booking problem that happens. And people love to blame the ghost bookers. It's a little bit like COVID, where no one was really in need of toilet paper, but if you didn't go out and buy it when it came out, there was this big hot rush to get it. So they're going to solve that ghost booking problem for those 50, 60, 70% of places that never had a fee before by just putting up prices. And that is convenient if you're trying to raise revenue, but it will block out a great number of low-income families, young people. They're not going to pay hundreds of dollars to go camping for a week. So it's just going to block out a lot of people.
On the text line, Josie's texted in saying national parks need to be protected and respected. In Victoria, recently our government decided there would be no booking fees. You just book online and turn up. This approach has been immensely detrimental to the community. People book a site, may or may not turn up. They don't cancel because there's no money to be returned. The sites are either empty or have been booked by people who want the site next to them as well. Josie says, in the end, I'm happy to pay, but I think there's a sweet spot. Enough of a fee to warrant cancelling your booking to get your money back, but not so low that you're happy to just let it go without a refund. Mike, listening to Josie, Josie's obviously in Victoria, not New South Wales, but is there a sweet spot in terms of paying for something to give it a value to people?
Well, I totally agree with her. And there isn't a sweet spot in the middle between the two extremes. It's either free or it's expensive. Both solve the problem. And to go in the middle doesn't really work. And so for Josie, I'm not sure of her economic background and whatever, but she can probably afford, she can probably afford maybe to pay $56 a night in high season to secure that site and have certainty for herself. And I can probably do that too. But there are many people, and when I grew up, there wasn't heaps of money floating about. So that would block us out. And so the best thing is to remove it. And if people say, oh, well, you know, how do I know that there's going to be a campsite? That's the way it has been for eternity before COVID came in. And if there is an increasing visitation, then they need to increase the number of sites. That is obviously going to help with demand.
So supply and demand, working on the supply side as well as the demand side.
Absolutely. And in the proposal, they did not consider increasing the amount of campsites. So, of course, they're driving, well, demand is going up and they're keeping supply steady. That's just going to be price increases forever.
Janine's called in from the Central Coast. Janine, you've read the proposal. You see it's got pros and cons.
Yes, I think one of the things that I welcome is that the proposal's actions to sort of reduce ghost booking. So that's where people book, pay, and then don't turn up, but it blocks the site for everyone else. But one of the things that I found very questionable and I disagree with is the fact that they're going to change the per-person booking to a site booking, and they increase the amount. But it really has a negative effect on people that are camping on their own or maybe just with one other person. It makes the cost prohibitive. And I find this really disadvantages women as well. Women, national parks campsites are considered fairly safe for women, and a lot of women camp and travel around Australia on their own. Or maybe with one other woman, and they're going to end up with this cost rise. You may be paying, instead of $24 a night or something, you may be paying $65 just because the campsite happens to have a flush toilet. You know, they're going to be ending up on the sides of roads and stuff, and it's just not the experience of the national park and the safety as well. So that's an issue that I think needs to be thought about.
Excellent point. Thank you so much, Janine, for calling in. You are listening to Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. We're talking about how camping, at least in New South Wales national parks, is looking like the prices are going to jump. There's a consultation paper out at the moment. And I'm also speaking with adventurer and filmmaker Mike Atkinson. Mike, you've been very vocal on this issue. You've got quite a big profile on social media. What kind of things are people telling you about, because I'm guessing the people who follow you are keen campers, keen users of these spaces. What are they telling you about the proposal?
95% of them are in line with what I say. There is 5% that do have conflicting views, but they agree because they are more likely the people who have experienced the problems, and they're also the more likely the people who've had a lifetime of experience in camping. Like, it seems to me when I'm chatting to the people, the decision makers here, they aren't campers. They don't know the history before it was the park, before COVID. So they can't visualise in their mind an idea that you could go camping for free. Because at the moment, there's still that $6 booking fee. So people that really camp a lot understand how bad it is once they realise there's going to be new fees on stuff that never had them. Sorry, can I also add just a point on what Georgia was saying, the previous caller. It will, when it prices people out, and she's talking about security and stuff, you're going to find people, Kosciuszko National Park, for example, people are going to be camping outside the park because it's too expensive, and then you're going to have illegal camping, farmers getting upset, signs placed up in every dead-end street saying no camping, and that's going to be just a nasty feeling for the places outside of the national parks.
John says, as a former ranger, park manager and keen camper, I think affordable camp fees are critical to maintaining public support for the parks. They're a natural asset that belongs to us all, not a business. Visiting a national park is not like going to a concert. It's a right, not a privilege. We'll lose the parks if we restrict access to the better off. Kate in Sydney says, I don't mind paying more to access our beautiful national parks if the additional revenue will be used to improve their management. Mike, where's the sweet spot here?
Well, I really like the first point that previous ranger said, and his opinion really adds weight. For some of us, we can afford to pay more, but it comes down to that person that can't afford to pay more. And even though I am someone that can now afford to pay more, there is also a resentment that I have that I should be paying $56, $36 plus my $190 to get into the Kosciuszko National Park, for example. They don't all have fees to get into the parks, but you've got that on top for some parks. There's a resentment that I should be out here enjoying nature, and I'm just sitting here going, this is wrong. It is philosophically wrong. It is a national park. It is a national asset, and to be paying money like it's a concert is it just upsets you just on the inside.
Well, this is a consultation process that's still open. And earlier I spoke to Georgia Rivers, who's the Director of Visitor Management and Revenue with the New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Service. And I started by asking her about why they've opened this consultation process.
We're undertaking public consultation in which we're asking campers to let us know how they think campgrounds should be managed and priced across New South Wales. The reason that we're asking this question and asking for this feedback is that fees have been set in quite an ad hoc way across the state over time. And there are various issues with campground management that campers have let us know about after their stays and in various surveys. And so we've put together this paper in which we talk about some of the issues and we put forward some thoughts about things that we think might solve them, and things like pricing that we think might make it a fair and consistent system that everyone can understand. And we're asking for feedback, and we will have a look at all of that feedback and make changes to the proposal accordingly and then work out what we should do.
So this is obviously still in the proposal phase, but there are some that argue that they're already paying for national parks with their taxes, that it should all be free. And in the proposed price structure, places like, for example, the Cat Eye Campground in the Hawkesbury is currently $24.60 per night, will increase to $89 a night in the high season. Given that we are in a cost of living crisis, is this not potentially pricing some people out of campgrounds?
This proposal is actually not about increasing fees. It's about putting a framework that links the price to what you get, so facilities and services and demand, so people know what to expect. In fact, we'll be lowering prices in many cases, making basic campgrounds free, lowering prices when it's quiet in low season, which is about three quarters of the year, removing extra person fees, booking fees, and so on. In some places, yes, the prices will go up, and that's because we may have upgraded the campground with great facilities, or there's a lot of demand we need to manage, and costs, of course, have gone up a lot. We maintain about 365 campgrounds across New South Wales, and we absolutely want everyone to be able to go camping. And camping will always remain a low-cost option for people to holiday. As I said, we'll be actually making it cheaper in many cases. It's probably important to realise that the camping fees only cost a very small proportion of what it costs to maintain campgrounds, so they are absolutely subsidised by taxpayers, as you say. And that will continue. We don't expect the fees to cover the costs at all. But we think that it's probably fair that campers chip in a bit when they go camping.
So is part of the restructuring aimed at stopping what's been called ghost camping, where people make a booking but then they never show up?
Yes, that's right. We and other states seem to have a problem with people making bookings and then maybe plans change and they don't show up. which of course is fine, except the problem that we have is that people aren't cancelling. They aren't letting us know that they're not coming, which means that the site isn't freed up for someone else. So what we're proposing here, we've looked at a lot of options, but what we're proposing is that if we put in place reasonable fees, that will make people think twice about making the booking in the first place. But most importantly, we are proposing to increase the amount of refund you get if you cancel, in the hope that that will give people an incentive to actually let us know that they're no longer coming, which will free up the camp space for someone else.
So when do you hope to have some results from this consultation period?
Consultation is open until the 25th of May, and then we will analyse all of the feedback that we get and work out what campers think, what they think, how they think we should be managing campgrounds. And then we will update the proposal and give it to the government to make a decision. And if any changes end up being made, I guess it will happen in 2026 sometime.
So that's Georgia Rivers, who's Director of Visitor Engagement and Revenue with the New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Service. Mike Atkinson, otherwise known as Outback Mike, has been chatting to me about this today. He's got some big thoughts about this process. Mike, what's your main piece of feedback that you'll be submitting as part of this consultation process?
My main two points is that for the places prior to COVID that were free with no booking system, to return it to that way. And the second one is to increase the supply by creating more campsites to match the 49% visitation that they quote in their paper. And I should also just add there that in that consultation process, why me and many other people are a little distrusting, if you look at the terminology, the way it's worded, the fact that they don't highlight anywhere in this document that 50 to 60, 70% of places for the first time ever are going to have a fee, that's a bit of a red flag. And if you look at the way that the survey is written, there's a lot of leading questions like, do you want fairer so-and-so? It's like, It should be asked up to us to decide what's fair, not being told, do you want something to be fairer? Mm. So I don't think the way they're seeking feedback is leading them in a direction that they already want.
This is Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about a consultation process currently underway in New South Wales National Parks to look at the way people pay for camping there and book sites. Lots and lots of people texting in about this. One person says, this is a slap in the face for families who love to take their kids camping. Camping's always been the affordable alternative. Now it's becoming out of reach. They went camping in northern New South Wales during the Christmas school holiday period with the kids and grandkids. 7 days, $42 a night. You pay extra for hot showers. The proposed fees would see that rise to $630 per family if the new fees come in. This person says, that's a substantial increase and would prohibit some families from introducing their kids to the wonderful outdoor world of camping. Well, I'd like to bring in Richard Kingsford, who's Associate Professor and Director of the Centre for Ecosystem Science at the University of New South Wales. Richard, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Tegan.
A lot of this conversation is about paying or not paying, how much is worth paying, how much isn't worth paying. And we heard Georgia say before that you're never really paying the cost of staying in the campsite when you're paying a fee. How do we ensure there's enough funding to support our national park system?
Look, I think this is a big challenge, and it's increasingly a challenge, particularly as populations increase and more people want to enjoy, you know, nature and go to our national parks. And then there's, you know, how do you cope with that demand in such a way that's fair and you give everybody a chance to experience what wonderful places these are? But clearly, there are some challenges in terms of if the fees are too low, people are doing these ghost bookings, which is, I think, really problematic. And I think governments around the world, not just in Australia, have to deal with this issue of supply and demand and the tension there about, well, do we just keep increasing facilities at the cost of the national park? And then how do we get some sort of cost recovery here, given that, you know, these are really big places to manage and there's the funding sources are not great in terms of being able to bring them to get the best out of them.
There's some really interesting texts on the text line that I'd like to put to you, Richard. Is a fair amount to be charging to park to camp in a national park? But Richard, one person says, how much should we increase access to camping? We have to think about the pressure on the environment as the population grows and maybe limit numbers camping. Another text from David Stead from the National Parks Association in Sydney saying national parks are created to protect nature, not to be cut down for pseudo accommodation, not to meet supply and demand. Richard, how do we balance our desire to go and experience nature with the actual conservation, which is what parks are for?
Yeah, look, it's really difficult. And inevitably, if you open up parks completely for tourism, you're going to impact on the conservation objectives for that national park. So And all around the world, places that have very high visitor demand in North America and in Africa, people are highly regulated. They actually have to pay a lot of money. They can only go to certain parts of a park. And I think inevitably, if we try and look at our parks in 20 years' time, and people are trying to get as much out of them as possible, we'll need to regulate more. And so people will be restricted in when they can go to some places, and we'll have to have booking. And that booking will need to make sure that, you know, this problem of ghost bookings goes away. I think the issue that also, particularly in Africa, where you've got high-end tourism and locals that can't afford to go into parks, they have a different type of tier system that may be useful in this space. But there's that tension between not wanting to develop a national park more so you're impacting on nature, but also providing enough for visitors to experience the splendour of those national parks.
Why is access to national parks by humans so important? Because you could make the case that it should be for conservation and no one should be allowed to go there, but we do get so much out of being able to visit them.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, quite apart from anything else, people vote. And, you know, the environment's really important in terms of our government decision making. And the more we can convince people that these are so important to our livelihoods and the planet's livelihoods, the better. And there's no better way of doing that than going into a national park and experiencing what goes on in terms of, you know, the wonderful landscapes, the animals and the plants and nature in its full glory. But we also know that after COVID, that so many people actually needed green spaces for their mental well-being. And more we're understanding that these are the places that give us, the things that we need to make meaningful what we're doing in life. So, you know, we do need to look after not just ourselves in the future, but we need to look after all the other plants and animals that actually share this planet with us.
Yeah, that real sense of perspective that you get when you're able to go out into a natural environment. But even from an economic and cultural point of view, national parks are really important to the communities around them.
Yes. So, you know, I think people sometimes forget how important our national parks are economically. I mean, we know that a lot of tourism is actually going to find nature, you know, people, and along the way, they're willing to pay a lot of money, even going to towns on the way, say, to the outback. You're going to be spending your dollar in towns and accommodation. And then when you actually get there, and not to mention all the fuel that you pay to get out there. It is a big tourism opportunity. And I think even in a much wider expanse, if you look at what's happening in the middle of the continent now with the Lake Eyre Basin, that's going to result in a huge boon in terms of people visiting places like Coongie Lakes National Park, which is out near Innamincka, because of this amazing wildlife that will happen out there. So It is an important part of the economic equation as well. And I think one of the big challenges for governments is that there's this issue of cost recovery, and when there are a lot of other demands on state and federal budgets. How do you make sure you've got enough money, not only to buy the national park, but to manage it appropriately? And that means dealing with invasive species, issues to do with a whole range of conservation of threatened species. But then on top of that, you've got to manage the people pressure that's going to come with people visiting.
Richard, thank you so much. Richard Kingsford is with the University of New South Wales. Mike Atkinson, aka Outback Mike, is a filmmaker and adventurer. Georgia Rivers is the Director of Visitor Engagement and Revenue in New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Service. So we first ran this story in May. I'm told by Mike that a decision still hasn't been made and the fee changes are still up in the air.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.